How you doing, sister?
I'm good. I'm a little fatigued at this point of our day, but I'm good.
Good, 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 good. I'm always fatigued. I've got grandkids that live in my house.
Yeah, so, that'll do it. I tell you, they're great, but they're tiring.
What is the biggest task or errand that you've ever done to please your husband? And let me tell you why. Because last night, my wife has gotten addicted, and my grandkids, to whole wheat cinnamon Cheerios.
Oh.
And we have a Hy-Vee by our house. And I kid you not. I'll pull it up because you think I'm lying. I went to find these Cheerios, and they didn't have them anywhere. So I went to Hy-Vee. I usually don't go there because it's really, really expensive.
Hy-Vee's a grocery store. Really.
Yes. And I said to my wife, Cheerios has the current flavors at Hy-Vee. Very berry, chocolate, strawberry, banana, honey nut, apple cinnamon, frosted, honey.
Oh my.
Honey vanilla, I'm sorry. Blueberry, berry oat, multigrain.
Good Lord.
Chocolate strawberry. That's 12. But they did not have the cinnamon whole oat Cheerios. So then I went to Cub, and then I went to Sam's.
Oh my!
And then I went to another Cub, and by about 8:15, where did I go? Oh, I finally went to the Super Target in our city, and they had the boxes, you know, because we were buying them in the big box,
right,
with the family size.
Right.
And they didn't have them in that, but they had them, so I bought three. But by the time I got home, I was just mad as a wet hen because she kept saying, no, I really want them. The kids like them, we like them. And so anyway, what's the longest errand or that you remember trying to please your husband?
Oh, you're catching me off guard.
I know.
Let's see. I remember having to drive way across town to drop a car off that needed repair some sort. And then I had to work out a ride back to my... Anyway, it was a big hassle and inconvenience years ago, but he was really appreciative. So that was something like that.
You guys didn't get a divorce over that?
No. No. I'm sure there's some other things, but nothing comes to mind.
Right. I do remember one time.
Oh, wait. I think of something.
Oh.
One year, see, we live on the lake, and one year he had to be out of town for work, and so I single-handedly took in all of our pier pieces by myself.
Come on. Did you really?
Not the metal frames, but okay, all the wood pier pieces,
yes,
that go on the metal frames. And it was a lot. And so because I knew he was going to be tired, and so I worked all afternoon and got the pier pieces in all by myself, and then all he had to do was the metal framing.
Did you stack them then too?
I did.
Oh my goodness. Shereen.
I couldn't do that now. I'm too old and too tired.
Yeah, we did that as kids with our cottage. Oh,
yeah.
That's a lot of work.
We did.
But those metal pieces, those beams, they get buried in the sand, and
yeah,
they are hard to get out.
Yeah, I was not strong enough to do that by myself.
Oh, man. Boating 101 podcast brought to you by Eagle,
yeah,
Mike, and Mary. I do remember once, it's along the same lines, Kim wanted a certain type of face cream that was like $100 a jar.
Oh.
So for Christmas, she said, this is where you can get it. And I went to whatever the foo-foo store was at the mall, and they didn't have it. And so I went to the other mall. They didn't have it, so I had to go to the mall in a diner, or as we like to say, a diner. And the Southgate, you know, mall, they didn't have it. And I was like, that's it. I'm just not going to.
No
just,
cream.
And this was before you could Google it or get on your phone. And then I was like, we have the Mall of America by where I live.
Yeah.
But I'm like, that's 400 stores. You know, like, how am I?
Right.
So
get in there.
But I'm just going to walk in, and I'm going to go to, it wasn't JCPenney's, but Gimbler's or something like that, a little more higher up, whatever. And I walked in and I got it. And I was like, okay, for you, baby. And then on Christmas Day, she opened it. She was excited. And then I told her the whole hassle about it. She's like, oh. Anyway, as a kid, you don't understand, you know. Okay, listen, thank you for all the feedback. Again, You can reach out to us at minglematemary@gmail.com. And also check out our website, minglematemary.com, the website. We've got, I think, some fun and entertaining swag on there, coffee cups, sweatshirts, the like. Also some great resources for you and your relationships, your marriage. Make sure you check that out. But love hearing from our listeners. Again, we are answering questions and trying to help in relationships via email. So don't hesitate to email us. We will get back to you. Let's jump into today.
Okay.
Because with that being said, we are getting contacted by people and they want advice, but they're also asking, do you think we need counseling? So is this a big deal? Is this a big issue? Or do you think we should, can you answer us over email, help us, or should we go in for counseling? Now, I always counsel people once and then no more after that, almost always.
Sure.
I try to be that resource or that bridge to a professional like yourself.
Right.
The only time that breaks off is premarital counseling. I'll take that on.
Sure.
I have a lot of couples that aren't Christ followers or don't go to my church that want me to marry them because I make it a lot of fun. So I use that as a way to kind of build a bridge, build a relationship. That's it.
Yeah.
So here are five signs you may need marriage counseling. Number one, you struggle to communicate beyond just your normal, typical struggles as a couple.
Right.
I think of the marriages, marriages. Kim and I will laugh when we go out to eat, and we'll see a couple sit at the table and not say
yes.
One word. They'll talk to the waiter or the waitress 10 times more than they will the person sitting across the table.
Yep.
So if you struggle to communicate, it might be a good reason to go to counseling. If someone shows up at your office and they say, we don't talk, we don't communicate, what do you tell them?
That I'm really glad they're there and that those are skills they can learn and we can work on it together.
Do you give them any immediate tools about how they can start to communicate?
I do. Usually I ask them about themselves a lot in the sense of what's their given style of communication just as an individual. You know, are they right. talkers? Are they not talkers? Are they all that? Because I just try to see what's their baseline, where are they coming from just as an individual. And then I like to assign homework. So I usually assign them a couple questions that they have to take time during that week before we meet again and just sit down and have a conversation. So I give them reasons to have to communicate. And usually it's have a conversation about something that's not a high conflict, but I've got some kind of scripts in my office and I ask them to go through those questions. It just kind of gets them talking.
Let me ask you a question real quick. Why is it that we as couples, when we marry, we can talk about anything all the time, everywhere?
Sure.
And then as soon as we get married, not as soon as we get married, but within a year or two, all of a sudden we feel like we have nothing in common anymore.
Well, some of it is the novelty wears off. And a lot of it is your life gets busy and filled with other things. And we become, when we're dating, we don't realize how intentional we are about talking and sharing together. And when we're married, we don't realize how unintentional we are about actually talking and communicating together.
That's good. That's good.
So it's intention.
There's a lot to be said about the unintentional, because many times we just want some peace. We want some downtime.
Sure.
And in a way, we're taking that out on our spouse.
And to be fair, not to beat a dead horse, but social media and our phones have not helped us at all.
True.
We have lots of distraction to not have to talk and communicate.
Right. I think the again, from a guy's perspective, he can fall into the, man, I pay the bills. I help
sure.
clean the house.
Sure.
What more do you want from me? Just whenever you talk to me, you want something from me. So it's easy for me to want to tune out.
Yeah.
I can't remember who it was. But recently a couple that came into my office, I said to the wife, when you approach him, how many times is it because you want something or need something? It could be innocuous. It could be, remember to pick up soup on the way home from work.
Sure.
And she said, oh, I don't know. I said, well, pull out your phone once and just look at your text.
Ooh.
And she started to laugh. She said, I think almost everyone is, I need something, or I want an answer, I need you to do. I said, so if I'm a guy and I hear from the other room, honey, can you come here for a second? I'm like, ugh. I'm already like, what do I got to do?
Right.
But if I walk into that room, and this has happened, thank you, Jesus, my wife calls me into the other room, and I walk into the other room, and it's like, I just want to let you know that I appreciate all you do, or I just want to let you know, and it leads to other things, or whatever, then I'm not as likely to just have that door shut all
yes.
the time.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, okay, this, maybe she wants something, maybe she doesn't, but I'm a little more relaxed.
Yeah.
Because I'm not 10 out of 10 times knowing she does want something from
right.
me. So,
right.
Number two, you might need marital counseling if there's a lack of physical or emotional intimacy.
Yeah, and it's hard because that term, emotional intimacy and even physical intimacy, that can mean a lot of different things to different people. But that is definitely, if there is not a emotional connection ever, then yeah, it's a good thing to go and say, let's work on us. Let's try to build some skills that help us to connect on an emotional level. If there's no physical intimacy, I like to tell couples, sex is not everything. You won't die if you never have sex again, so, you know, relax. But sex is a vital part of most healthy marriages. So there's exceptions to that, or sometimes some physical challenges of why that isn't going to be an option. But for most healthy couples, it changes, of course, as you get older, but certainly in general, it's a reason to seek help and explore a little bit of why there's no physical intimacy.
Hold on one sec. Okay. So,
okay.
Those of you who are listening, sorry about the beginning of this podcast. I didn't realize that. Like I've said many times, I'm new to this. I apologize.
Sorry.
So, but going back to this, an interesting point, if you lack physical or emotional intimacy, and again, I got this illustration from a sermon I preached, but then I literally tried it in a counseling situation. We were kind of talking about this. The woman said she felt disconnected from her husband emotionally.
Okay.
So they came in, he knew they were coming in to talk to me. And she kind of shared the problem. I asked him what he thought. This all took about 2 minutes right at the beginning. And then I said, okay, here. She wrote a letter
okay.
that she wants me to read about how she feels. And so I began to read this letter. It was about a page and a half long. And I said, well, what do you think? And he started to talk a little. And I said, okay, hold on. Time out. She didn't write this letter. I did. Which means you are completely out of touch with your wife.
Ooh.
And he stopped and he looked.
Shazam.
Now, I let her know ahead of time.
Yeah.
Because what I don't need her to do is say, I didn't write you a letter.
Right.
And so he said, what do you mean you wrote the letter? I said, I just made things up off the top of my head. And use illustrations off the top of my head. But I said, but the fact that you didn't recognize that this isn't from your wife is scary, because that means that you are emotionally out of touch. And he stopped for a second and he tried to defend himself, but then he literally stopped and said, you really didn't write that? And she goes, no. And so there was like this light bulb moment. He goes, well, then how are you feeling? And she's kind of like,
now you're asking.
I've been trying to tell you how I feel for the last 5-6 months, whatever. So it's pretty interesting, but I think there are different ways you can gauge. And if it's you, you need to ask yourself, am I emotionally out of touch? Would I be able to verbalize, or would I be able to know whether that's really what my wife's going through, whether it was really from her or not?
Yeah.
And again, can I verbalize what she's going through? And I should ask her, is this what you're going through? Because she might say no, but...
Well, yeah, and so that reminds me of, it can sound like a silly thing, and people roll their eyes when I say this to clients, but there is so much value in learning the art of asking good questions, because that's how we find out and being emotionally in touch with each other. Is some of us never get the skill of knowing how to be intuitively attuned, which is another skill, to our spouse. So I have to ask.
Yeah.
And learning how to ask good, genuine, open-ended questions, it's a phenomenal way to connect emotionally.
Right. Yeah, if you're dealing with that, definitely time doesn't make that better. You need counseling. You need some
right.
professional. Number three, trust has been broken. If there's, and it doesn't just mean infidelity. Maybe you caught your spouse lying about finances or where they were at or what they did. So it doesn't have to be some major, they had an affair. But when trust has been broken, you should probably seek counseling.
Yeah, it's a good, yeah, I agree.
A thought on that is one of the things I try to teach teenagers, I walk them through this statement. If you tell the truth all the time, I can trust you all the time. However, if you only tell the truth some of the time, I can only trust you. And I say, fill in the blank. And they say, some of the time. I say, no, then I can never trust you.
That's right. If you tell the truth only some of the time, then I never trust you.
Yes. And so, again, with your spouse, if you're listening to this, you go, well, it was just the one time, or it's just once in a while. It might be slight. It might be indifferent to you.
Right.
But the fact that you are untrustworthy a few times here and there means you're untrustworthy everywhere.
Yes, because that's how it goes. Sorry, yes. That's kind of the reality.
And you don't get to say, well, I would never lie about that, or I would never do that. I don't know that, because
yeah.
you've broken my trust in these other areas. So
right. It's a good time to get counseling.
Fidelity is 100% or it's not at all. So next, you might need counseling if you've gone through a major life change. Birth of a child, death of a loved one, moving homes, new job, retirement.
Empty nest.
Yep. Yeah. What are some of the things that you think or you see catch couples off guard that they weren't ready to deal with or handle as a couple that have caused issues or problems that they probably should get counseling?
Life stages that are actually happy events, because you think it's a happy event, it's not going to have a negative impact on you. But so having a baby, it's typically a happy event, but it can be such a change in your life stage. It really makes you vulnerable for all kinds of struggles. Or, yay, I get to retire. And then we're unprepared for the impact on our own identity and then the impact on our marriage. So life stage events that are we think of as happy, those are really good times to say, let's talk some of this through with a counselor, because any life stage change, you're vulnerable for all kinds of stuff.
I'll give you one that I've seen throughout the years. Only a few times have they come in to my office for counseling, and here's why. A couple, they've been married 15, 20 years or more, or, you know, it doesn't matter, time doesn't matter, I guess, and all of a sudden one of them has this spiritual awakening, this faith.
Yes, yes.
And they want to go to a different church. They want to change how they structure their life. They want to change their beliefs. They want to get involved in the church. And the other spouse is like, hey, I was happy going once every couple months to the Lutheran church down at the end of the street. And now everything is church, 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 church. And again, I've heard it mostly from people who say, yeah, you know, my parents, you know, had an okay relationship, and then all of a sudden my dad just totally became this fanatical Christian, and my
right.
mom's having a hard time.
Right.
She doesn't want to go to this new church. She doesn't want to get involved. She doesn't want to change her beliefs, whatever. And so at that point, I'll say, well, you should probably get counseling, you know?
Yeah, talk through it.
You don't, I would tell that guy, his wife doesn't have to change.
Yeah.
She can still go to the Lutheran church down on the corner. She get whatever. But that's one of the life changes I've seen that catch people off guard.
Yeah, another life change way to look at it is anytime the balance of power changes in the family. And so it's always good to look at what life stage you're at and who has the power. So, for example, when you have a newborn, guess what? That newborn is the one that has the power in the family, because that newborn dictates a lot of how you spend your time, what you're doing. Or if you have a special needs child, that child may always have the power in the family. Because it has to. The needs have to be met. Or all of a sudden I went to grad school, and so I kind of had the power in the family because my schedule, my homework, my exams, my getting up and going to class kind of dictated then what Mitch did and our son did. It kind of had to revolve around. And then there's been times when Mitch has had the power. you know, just briefly, when he had shoulder surgery, he kind of had the power because I had to step up. He was not as able to do things. And so anytime there's a life stage or a change in situation where the power balance is changed, that is a good time to talk through it with a counselor.
I would have never seen it like that, but that makes sense.
That's why they pay me the big bucks.
That's right. That's why I'm just, you know, I don't know. I'm not a professional, as we've pointed out a few times. You know, when you were saying that, I was thinking just of my own personal life that sometimes it's when something new happens, I feel like almost I need pre-counseling before I get there. Thinking, and this is a real life example, when I felt like I was supposed to plant a church, walk away from a great salary, a healthy church, a solid position, job security, and I felt like God was saying, yep, just walk away from all of it and go plant a church, I thought, I need to start getting insight, advice, wisdom from people before I even talk to my wife about this or before I even start to do it. In a sense, counseling before the change, the major life change happens.
Yes.
And I wonder how many times, and I'm speaking to myself, there are things that I have not done that, you know, I knew, okay, this is going to be a big change.
Right.
And I just thought, well, I'll just wing it and kind of go through it as I go through it. And Kim will deal with it however she deals with it.
Yeah.
Rather than taking us, as we talked about two or three podcasts ago, always think of us and not me. And I didn't think of how it would affect us. It was just how would it affect me? And just kind of wing it.
I have couples that are already in counseling with me. One of the things I often do is if they say, oh, yeah, we're going to go on vacation or we're going to go spend the holidays or this is how Christmas is going to happen. I think that's a powerful time to do that pre-event, pre-change counseling where you are intentionally talking together about, well, what are your expectations? How do you see this unfolding? What do you think this is going to be like? Because we don't think to stop and talk about it. And then you can hear them talking together and they realize, oh, I didn't think it was going to go that way. Or, oh, I thought we were going to, you know, and they're so glad they talked about it before it actually happens.
Yeah. Well, good point. Last one, why you might need marriage counseling. I'm going to say this with my radio voice. You have an addiction.
An addiction.
I would say that's a no-brainer, though some people don't see it as a no-brainer. But I will clarify with this. An addiction could be more than just drugs or pornography.
Right.
It could be gambling. It could be spending. It could be overeating.
It could be gaming.
Yeah. It could be the weight room. It could be physical fitness of some sort.
Right.
So if your addiction, if your behavior is in the way of a healthy relationship, it's an addiction.
Right.
So if the behavior is in the way of a healthy relationship, I know couples that they're both addicted to the gym, but they love it, and they talk more at the gym, they laugh, they, you know, but if only one of them was, it could definitely get in the way of a healthy relationship. So you have to kind of verify it or look at it that way. So what's an addiction you have?
Thrift store shopping, and I know that sounds ridiculous, but truly, if I don't, you know, walk through some kind of secondhand store, I start getting itchy, and I realize, Sheree, just stop. You can only have so many clothes, even if they are thrift store clothes, and so much junk in your house, which my house isn't junky. That's the wrong impression,
no.
But anyway.
I would have never seen that coming from our family, that you would like shopping. do you buy your grandkids gifts from thrift stores?
Only if the item itself is brand new.
Okay. There is a level that you won't cross. So.
And I don't buy shoes at thrift stores because I just don't. Or underwear.
Yeah. Why would you?
Right.
Ooh.
I know.
Oh. Yeah. Well, my addiction is definitely cocaine. Just kidding.
Different podcast.
Never, never done a drug in my life. I definitely think it could, I err on the side of working out.
Sure.
I could spend hours in the gym every day. And I always laugh because when people say, talk about self-discipline, I'm like, no, it has nothing to do with self-discipline. It's like, a fat kid being disciplined to eat chocolate cake. There's no discipline. I just enjoy it. And that can definitely be an addiction. I cope, definitely cope with that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I would love for Kim to work out. I think it'd be great time spent together, but I can't put that on her.
Right, right.
And it was definitely early on in our marriage. It definitely got in the way of a healthy relationship.
Sure.
I mean, it was tough. So if you have any of these, you need to seek marital counseling. So that leads me to this thought. How do you know when you found a good counselor?
Yeah.
And have you ever told someone that you're not qualified to counsel them, maybe because of personality or specialty or background?
I think that's so important, because finding the right counselor, finding the right therapist is something that we overlook. And you need to know that therapists have all kinds of different personalities. They have, I mean, not the same therapist having multiple personalities. I'm talking, every individual therapist has their own unique style, their own personality, their own way of communicating, and then often their own specialty or their own form. There's many forms or kinds of therapeutic interventions. And so it's so important that you're a good consumer. You're going to probably be paying for therapy, and or your insurance and is paying. And so be a good consumer. Fine. If you start with a therapist, trust me, we are happy if you say this isn't a good fit, because we want you to get what you need. And it's really hard to be counseling with somebody, and you know, and there's times I have told people, you know what, I don't think we're making the kind of progress that you deserve. I don't think that I am good for you in the sense of helping you to the degree that somebody else could. But I often try in the first couple sessions to ask them about them in the sense of what kind of style do they respond best to. Do they like somebody who's real direct? Do they like homework? Do they like more just gentle conversational style? So those are thoughts that come to mind on that.
Sometimes you just need to go to Dr. Leo Marvin.
I don't remember who that is.
Dr. Bob.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Dr. Marvin.
That's What About Bob, people. That's
yes.
A reference to that old movie.
One of my favorite movies.
Yes.
True story. When my wife first decided she needed counseling, this was at our fifth year of marriage. And if Kim was sitting here, I wouldn't be talking behind her back. She was, I don't know, technically bipolar, but up and down and in and out because of her upbringing and abuse. And she finally said, I need to get counseling. She went to a counselor, and every time she came back, she seemed worse.
Ooh.
And everything was my fault, my problem. So finally, after 6 months, and honestly, when she would come back and say, it's your problem, you need to, I'd be like, okay, you're going to a counselor. After 6 months, she finally said, and the counselor's name was Mavis. She said, Mavis said, you can come this time with me. So we went in, and Mavis was a screaming, flaming liberal feminist, which I'd kind of already picked up on. And the very first question Mavis asked me when we sat down was, can you explain to me how your behavior has created all these problems in your wife? And I said, I don't quite understand. She said, why are you doing what you're doing to make your wife be like this and act this way?
Ooh.
And this is the honest truth. I'm not trying to hyper-spiritualize this. I felt the Holy Spirit come over me. I have no problem being bold, but I know when to draw a line if I feel like it's going to build a wall between my wife and I.
Right.
But I felt the Holy Spirit come over me, and I said, are you saying that I'm the problem? And she said, most definitely. And I said, here's what I know. I'm a great father. I'm a great husband. I'm a great son. I'm a great brother. And I'm a great youth pastor. So I don't think I'm the problem. So I'm going to go back to the waiting room and sit in the waiting room. And I remember waiting for Kim to just explode.
Right.
And the counselor got all upset. And she said, if you don't sit down here and take responsibility, and I just got up and I walked out. Went and sat in the waiting room. The longest 50 minutes of my life, because
yeah.
I was waiting for Kim to come out and just tear me to shreds. She came out just deadpan. We walk out the door, down in the parking lot, and I'll never forget. We had a white escort wagon. And we get to the wagon, and she's on the passenger side, and I'm getting in. And she stops, and she looks at me, and she said, "Don't ever let me see that woman again."
Wow.
She hates men. And she's only making this worse. I was like, okay. Fast forward, we found another counselor. His name was David. I would take a bullet for that man. He changed Kim's life, changed our marriage. In fact, we're still married today because of it. Long story short, but it's worth it. We might go a little over. She met with David probably, I don't know, 15, 20 times before she wanted me to come in and meet with him.
Uh-huh.
And I could immediately tell that this guy was helping her. We went in, we started meeting as a couple, and he said, okay, one thing you got to promise me, if there's ever anything bothering you, you got to bring it up during counseling. Great. So before we went to our next counseling session, I had a dream, and it really bothered me. And so we got in there, we sat down, and he said, so has anything happened this week that is really bothering you? And I was like, I cannot bring this up, but I made a promise. I don't know. I must be twisted. And so I said, well, I had a dream that really bothered me. He said, well, what was it? I said, I was in this dark bedroom, in bed, dark, totally dark, couldn't see anything. And a woman came through the window. She climbed into bed with me. We had sex. I wanted her to stay in bed with me, but then she climbed out the window and left and said, I can't stay. Kim's bawling. You don't love me anymore. You know. And I'm like, I knew I shouldn't have said anything.
Right.
He gets up and leans over his desk. And he goes, Kim, do you hear what he just said? And she's bawling. She goes, yes, he doesn't love me anymore. She goes, no, do you hear what he just said? What did he just say? He wants to have sex with another woman. He goes, no, Kim, he's saying he only knows you sexually, and he wants to know all of you. He wants to know you emotionally, mentally, spiritually. But all you can give him is your body. You can't give him your mind, your emotions, your all these things.
Wow.
And she goes, oh, my God, you're right. So, you know, she's hugging me. She leans over. She's crying. She's hugging me. And I'm looking at him across the desk while she's hugging me. And I wanted to say, I don't know if that's really what that means. But boy, do I owe you.
Yeah.
I owe you big. Like, I will take a bullet for you. And maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But to have a good counselor.
I think it was.
I think it was. But to have a good counselor is, I would highly recommend. In fact, even to this day, Kim and I will tell people, we still go to counseling.
Yeah.
Because we still need it. And we're relatively healthy, relatively. But I think everybody, no matter how healthy your marriage is, go in once in a while and just talk through issues and hear things from a different perspective. So.
Yeah. It's just, counselors need counselors. We're both here to tell you we've had times where we both have needed our marriage to be in counseling. And Garth and I both have, with our spouses, done counseling.
So. Yeah. Anyway, party thoughts, ideas?
Marriage is hard, but it's worth it.
Yes. And love is a choice. Don't go by feelings. See you next time.
Okay.